Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Dr. Nat Heiner, Chief Knowledge Officer and Deputy Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Coast Guard. Joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Dave Abel.
When we left off on the last segment, we were talking a bit about stakeholders, and it's probably not fair to talk about the military agencies as being stakeholders as much as they are business partners for you. What are the challenges in managing the cooperative effort? How do you work together with the military services?
First of all, I do have to say that they are stakeholders, especially the Navy would consider themselves a stakeholder. One of the things that the Coast Guard does very, very well, better than anyone, is we understand force protection in shallow water. It sounds like a technical kind of non-phrase, but if you are running an aircraft carrier or other major asset into waters of which you're uncertain, you want the Coast Guard there. So you will find, if you look carefully, that the Coast Guard isn't just in U.S. waters. We work with the Navy in all sorts of places around the globe to help the Navy with coastal force protection. Not a small issue. So the Navy considers the Coast Guard an absolutely critical partner in protecting their force. In that sense also, we work jointly with a variety of military services in the areas of law enforcement, counter-drug, have done this for a long time now, and to do everything we can to get out in front of the problems that we are trying not to have come true, be it a mass wave of illegal immigration, be it a fast boat carrying an ungodly amount of cocaine into this country, or now be it a terrorist trying to do terrible damage upon one part of the or other of this country's coastal assets. These are very serious missions that have existed and now have even more focus and intensity importance than they did before. In that sense, we're all stakeholders again, and managing this is an interesting challenge. But the good news there is that we don't have people on any part of the military service that I've been able to detect that aren't interested in actively overcoming whatever obstacles that we have. I'll give you an example of one quick obstacle that a lot of people now know about, that it's an obstacle that's built into the fabric of regulation and law and somewhat mission, but not into the willingness of people to overcome it. And that is, in the intelligence community, you have source information about assets, people, events, and so on. In the enforcement community, you have information that looks exactly like that. But how you use that information and who gets to see and who needs to know it is a very different thing. And if you share it in a certain way, here's a knowledge officer talking, if you share it in a certain way, you could prejudice the prosecution on the enforcement side, or you could wind up getting an intelligence source killed on the other side. So how you move this kind of information back and forth across the boundaries of your organizations is a really fascinating challenge. And a lot of folks are now hard at work with exactly the right intent at fixing that problem in this country. But that's an example of the kinds of coordination that we do all the time with the other armed services. We work the Pentagon all the time, and we have Navy liaisons here all the time. Office of Naval Intelligence, we're a major component of their operations. Coast Guard is an armed service, and in that sense, we have a very strong relationship with our sister services.
Are there new technologies on the horizon that will enable the Coast Guard to complete its mission differently or more effectively?
Absolutely, yes. And I'm not the one to say what those technologies are going to be, but I can give you some examples of things that are just fun and fascinating, and some of us know about them, some of us don't. You say over the horizon. Here's one that's it's not over the horizon or under it, it's above it. We have a communications infrastructure in the Coast Guard that is hideously expensive, as does most of the world. That is to say, we expend a tremendous amount of energy heaving satellites into orbit to serve secure and unsecured communications. We have various radio frequencies that we use to carry traffic across the surface as well, and then we bounce it off of satellites. We all know how all this infrastructure works. We have towers that we have to build at great cost, and maintain at great cost that carry these signals on the surface. This is an infrastructure that most people sort of are dimly aware of, but those of us who have to pay for it are hideously and painfully aware of it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a way, some sort of magical technology, to cut the costs of all that and maybe make it not necessary anymore to build towers? Well, there are interesting, fun people out there thinking in aggressive, strange ways, trying to find ways to do that. One of those technologies, and I'm not saying this is a solution, but this is an example of it holds the promise. You look at it maybe 5, 10, 15 years from now, maybe they can get this developed to the point where we don't have to build towers anymore and we don't even have to put up satellites. The name of the organization NASA is sponsoring this with the Air Force. It's an aircraft that is unmanned. It goes up to 80,000 feet above the weather. It enters into a very tight spiral and acts as if it were a satellite, a stationary satellite. You can bounce radio traffic off of it. It can act as a 400 square mile coverage in a network of antennas. Now, if you can find a way to manufacture that thing and make it stable and reliable, you have you've lost the necessity to heave satellites into orbit because this thing just takes off from the deck. You can run another one up there to replace it if an engine starts to go bad. It has a bunch of engines in it in its current iteration. So this is fun stuff. You look at this and you think, wow. We could be doing that 20 years from now, and we could get rid of the towers and all that expense, and it'd be solar-powered, too. It's just great stuff. Other things, wireless technologies. Right now, they're driving us crazy in the security environment, but wireless technologies are a much nearer-term technology that I think holds great promise for Coast Guard 911 and for the rest of the world, too. So technologies that carry information. Both of those are examples of technologies that carry information. Great stuff, and I see that. Anytime a new technology comes out that can do that, that it, makes it happen faster, cheaper, or better, we're going to be all over it, and all of us should be excited about that.
It's a great vision of the future. On the other side of that is the people that are going to need to be able to support the Coast Guard in the future. What advice do you have for a young person who's interested in a career in the Coast Guard?
Come join us. It's a great organization. It's the best decision I've ever made in my life, except she's probably going to hear this broadcast, so I have to say, aside from marrying my wife, which is the best decision. But in any case, it's a wonderful organization. If you're a young person and looking at the Coast Guard, and again, I'd encourage you to go look at the website, uscg.mil, preceded by all the other stuff you're used to, HTTPB, www, and so on, uscg.mil/news. Come look us over. It's a site that changes all the time. We do so many different things. If you're interested in anything that's wet, if you're interested in helping people, if you're interested in law enforcement, if you're interested in joining the country's effort at combating terrorism, Coast Guard's just a great place to be. What kind of people do we have in the Coast Guard? Just about every kind of person that we have in the country. We have very significant internal objectives for increasing the diversity in the Coast Guard. We value a diverse workforce in all parts of the Coast Guard. Women play a very important role. My boss, for example, flew C-130s, flew the Falcon jet, flew helicopters, carried the football for President Reagan for 3 years. That's Coast Guard values diversity, and I think that if you're a young person, it's a great place to look at for a career. I don't know any of my peers in the flag or in the SES Corps that are not just don't feel very honored to be part of that mission and grateful to have had such a long career in this organization.
What's the vision for the Coast Guard over the next 10 years?
Well, the vision is something that's been clearly articulated both in conjunction with the Department of Transportation and by our own commandant. We have a Coast Guard 2020 vision. Which depicts a Coast Guard that understands how to use these technologies in a way that makes them mostly invisible. People like CKOs and so on shouldn't be really necessary anymore because people use technology the way we use telephones today. back in the days of Ernestine, telephones were an obstacle, and it didn't work all the time. And so you knew that the telephone was a technology that needed, you know, to be managed. But back in those days, you turned the faucet on and the water flowed, and you knew that. You took it for granted. It was a utility. Electricity flowed. You knew that. Nowadays, we take the telephones for granted, too. And one of the goals for the Coast Guard is that this set of obstacles that we're all wrestling with in the world of technology is going to be like that. It's going to be something that everyone takes for granted, and we're down to our main mission, working with people, working for people to help them in the maritime environment.
Well, Nat, I'm afraid we're out of time. David, I want to thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Nat Heiner, Chief Knowledge Officer and Deputy Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Coast Guard. Be sure and visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's interesting conversation. Again, that's endowment.pwcglobal.com. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.